Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition podcast. Today my special guest is Robin Lewis, professor of musical theater at Rider University. Thanks so much for joining us, Robin.
Thank you for having me, Tim.
So we always like to get to know the person before the program. So I'd like to start with you sharing some information about your past, your career and training that led you up to your time at Rider.
Ooh, my past.
we're digging right into the dirt from the beginning, Robin.
Of course you are. I'm originally from Birmingham, Alabama. You're going to hear a lot of Southern accent in this conversation, I feel. I was a dancer on Broadway for many years, from Fosse to the Producers to Christmas Carol to Beauty and the Beast. And it led me to academia, because when Producers closed, my partner and I, we started a company out in Texas, Austin, Texas, Visual and Performing Arts School for Kids. And that led me to academia. I started working at University of Texas. And then Caitlin Hopkins was moving there after she finished the Dirty Dancing tour and asked me if I would be head of the dance musical theater program there, the dance portion. And we started that program the first 2 years. And then I was recruited to Rider University to head up this new BFA in musical theater. Myself, Marianne Cook from OU, and Nathan Hurwitz from OU started this program. It used to be a Bachelor of Music at the Westminster Choir College, and then moved to the campus of Rider University, where it ended up being a BFA in musical theater. And so that's where my path led me. And I still direct and choreograph at regional theaters and working on films and stuff like that. Now I'm teaching musical theater and passing on to the next generation of musical theater students.
Awesome. So it's a little bit of a different structure there than we're used to. You actually share the quote-unquote head of department responsibilities with two other people. Can you sort of talk about how that works?
Correct. There's three full-time faculty, and we also have lots and lots of adjuncts that teach in our program. So it's a union school, the professorship of a union school, so there's no title of head of. We all share the responsibility in recruiting and selecting our freshman class and the responsibilities within the program. We also are the advisors to all the musical theater students in the program. But myself, Nathan Hurwitz, and T. Oliver Reed, who just joined us about a year and a half ago, T. Oliver is still the current dance supervisor of Hadestown in New York City, and keeping that connection, which is wonderful with our students, brings his expertise and his passion to our students. So there's three of us that share the responsibility within the program.
And you brought up Westminster Choir College, and there's some questions usually when students are coming to me about Rider. What is that relationship? What is Westminster Choir College compared to Rider, and how do they work together?
So the Westminster Choir College was on the Princeton campus, and the musical theater programs on the Rider campus. Rider purchased Westminster many years ago, and then they sold the property recently and moved the Westminster Choir College to our campus. And there were some bumps along the way, but the Westminster Choir College Conservatory now lives on our campus, which is great for our students who maybe want to study more theory, more vocal performance. I had an MT student studying opera. They would continue piano. So it lies in there, like sacred music, vocal performance, opera, the very famous choir college. But everything dealing with the Rider musical theater program is totally separate. We used to be under the Westminster College of the Arts. Now we're under the College of the Arts of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Rider University. And there's been things in the news and social media about the Westminster Choir College, but it's totally separate from the musical theater program.
So nothing about the recent news that everyone's hearing about or coming to me asking has any sort of effect whatsoever on the musical theater.
No,
it
has no effect for the musical
no
theater.
Danger,
even the recent, no danger.
In anything happening in the future.
No. And even we just had recently have a new title. I mean, I even questions about that of our incoming class, about the, it doesn't change anything in the new musical theater program. It just, we just have a new dean. And this, we'd actually, or with the film and television major, and that just opens more opportunities for our students. Arts administration, it just more opportunities for our students to. Well, that's what makes, I think, our musical theater program different too, is that our students at the university just don't all need to study musical theater. They may take about 75% of our students have another major or minor in our curriculum. Mm-hmm. So with all those different departments, our BFA was created with 9 credit hours for them to play with. So they could take more like musicianship, or they could take filmmaking and directing as a major or minor, technical theater, arts administration, mm-hmm. entertainment industries. Many of our students take that as well. And some have even come back and getting their master's in arts administration. This year I have a senior that she is graduating with a musical theater degree, but also in arts administration, and is working at Jazz at Lincoln Center. We have someone working at the Met, Sony Records, interviews with Disney Theatrical. So I just feel like this opens many opportunities for our students to study. I mean, there's the students that are strictly just musical theater tunnel, but then there's, I think you just make discoveries as your path goes through the musical mm-hmm. theater program. You can study other things besides just musical theater.
Yeah. So tell us when students encounter you as a teacher throughout their 4 years there. What classes are you responsible for teaching?
I'm responsible for all your dance placements into your ballet, into your jazz, into your tap. But I teach all the jazz sections. And then I teach your senior jazz musical theater dance styles, where we're taking you all the way through the different genres of styles of musical theater dance, plus how to swing, how to dance captain, because our shows also have swings and dance captains as well, just like a normal production would have. I also direct some of the musicals. Like this year I directed Cabaret. Next year I'm choreographing Kiss Me, Kate. And then I also teach the showcase class. I directed and choreographed it this year, the musical theater showcase. So I teach those classes.
Great. So let's transition into breaking down the program a little bit more and getting into more specifics. Mm-hmm. I always ask our guests, I put them on the spot right in the beginning and say, give us your elevator pitch, 60 seconds or less.
Oh my gosh.
I don't really time you, but give us an overview of Rider University's musical theater program, and then we'll break it down later.
Okay. Well, you know, the big thing that draws a lot of students to our campus is that we are close to New York, Manhattan. I mean, we're only an hour by train during the week. We're able to bring special guests in, casting directors, like our seniors have seen 6 casting agents and directors in a semester. We've had special guests even this year from the cast of 6, to Leia Salonga, to Andy Blankenbuehler, to not just that, but bringing people in to talk about how to do your taxes, how to, you know, mental health. We are also close for our students to audition for summer stock instead of going to a big unified audition. Our students are able to go in the city. We also have the Princeton Ballet School that teaches our ballet, and you're placed in your level. You don't dance with your class, which is a big thing. Our students are able to audition for the plays as well as musicals. Actually, they're required to are in the plays as well as musicals. We do 3 plays, 3 musicals in a year, and 2 cabarets. In that whole year. We have 14 voice faculty that come from New York or from the Westminster Choir College that are wonderful. Your teachers have been in this business and also part of academia. And so they're real well in touch with what's happening in the industry. Plus it's a beautiful campus. We're near Bucks County Playhouse, near Princeton, which is like Hogwarts. I don't know if that's a big draw, but it is beautiful. But there's it, and the students are really close together. And it's a small school. We're probably a campus around 3,800 students. It's a beautiful campus. It's literally in a circle around a lake. So you can't say you're late to class when it snows. You could always get there. yeah.
Great. Well, we'll go back and talk about each of those things specifically now. So let's talk about freshman year. New musical theater student heading to Rider, what does their first year look like?
It's pretty heavy. I mean, I hear students, you know, like say, you know, I'm coming from a performing arts school. I like to keep busy. We're still finding those kids that come from those schools need it's a lot different. There's got to be time management because the kids are doing technical theater. They are doing stagecraft. They're teching a show their first year. They have to tech three, not their first year, but they have to tech three shows in their 4 years. But the first year they're doing a technical theater, they're doing music theory, they're doing sight singing, they're taking their ballet and jazz, they're doing their voice classes. They are not only have their voice classes, but they also have their studio voice class. So that's like two sessions a week of a private voice, an hour of voice, an hour of studio class with that teacher. And then we also have a coaching as well. And that is extra, the coaching. But that coach, about 98% of our students do it. That coach comes to the second half of your lesson so the teacher can step away. And so the coach plays the second half of your lesson. Then they meet with you 45 minutes every week for all 4 years to also go over your material, transpose, get your reels ready, make recordings, go over new rep. You also have your acting classes, which are with the BFA acting students. So, and then there's either your elective or your gen ed class that you take. And you will be involved, our students are involved, especially the freshmen, are part of Bronquay, which is a student-run organization that produces musicals and plays during the year, many, many shows. And our students also have written musicals or cabarets, and our freshmen are either teching the shows or choreographing the shows or being in them. A cappella groups, improv groups, choreography club, they are really busy. And if they choose to, they can audition for the summer stock shows and stuff that come to our theater, actually, to our campus. That's up to them. So that's many opportunities for
you. You mentioned your gen ed singular. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us sort of what the gen ed load is, or for core curriculum at
Rider? Yeah. So there is a writing component. There is a math component. There's two semesters of foreign language. There's a literature course. There's a natural science, philosophy, and a social science. So some people come with some APs or advanced placement or test out of piano, even theory, which allows students to take on that minor or major also with the curriculum. Mm-hmm. That's basically it of the gen eds, but then there's nine electives that they could choose from in that 4 years, whether it stays in the arts world or I had a senior take Homeland Security.
natural crossover to musical theater.
or pop music culture, communication. I have someone who has a French major and a literature minor with their musical theater major. But why not explore things like arts administration, the backside of like producing a show or a musical or running a company, let's say like the Martha Graham Dance Company or company managing the Rockettes. Mm-hmm. The freshmen have their freshman showcase. They still have to audition, and every freshman's in it. They're not auditioning for the main stage, but the cabaret that they do is a main stage production. So all freshmen, but they still have to audition. The sophomores, as a rising sophomore, they audition for the main stage as well, and start auditioning for main stage, but they also have a showcase cabaret the fall semester, their sophomore year. When we're casting, we mostly look at juniors and seniors for the main stage. But even this year, all of our juniors and seniors will be cast on a main stage show, plus some sophomores. Mm.
You mentioned that someone was taking a major in addition to their BFA. So a double major is possible at Rider.
It is possible. Because of those nine free electives, it could be anything you want. Like I said, the big one is arts administration. The second one is pop music culture, stage management, or anything in technical theater. Mm-hmm. Some of our musical theater majors have designed sets and costumes for our main stage. Filmmaking, that's the new one that works well with our degree as well. I have two students doing vocal performance, And then there's students that are strictly away from like a business side of, besides arts administration, like business marketing or communications. Mm-hmm. That is possible. But why not in those like gen ed classes, why not in literature take a Shakespeare class? Or for your science credit, take something about voice anatomy and how the voice works in right. singing. That's because of the conservatory being there. You know, also have a senior that is getting their dance science major and going to get her dance movement therapy when she graduates. So you're able to explore that.
You've already mentioned several performance opportunities for students, but can you break down for us exactly what those opportunities look like as far as main stages versus student-led productions and cabarets and all of that?
So there is, besides the main stage, there is the Bronquay, which I was telling you about, which is student-driven, but also there's, out of that, students have written musicals. Like we had a young man who did his show Hide and Seek at our school, workshopped it twice, even did it in a full read, and then he had it done at 54 and below, and had a full cast and producing in of it. We've had students who've taken like John and Jen, the musical, and directed it on their own, not through Bronquay, the student-run organization. An Evening of Tap, they're involved with writer dances. Choreography Club, which meets, which I mentor, happens every Friday. There are 8 a cappella groups that compete, all run by musical theater majors. But it also, you think musical theater majors, that's just it. There is crossover. There's marketing majors in those shows, in those groups. There are business majors. There are other departments in the arts program that cross with that. There is the improv group that competes. There is, some of our getting a dance science, so they're involved, not dance science, just the dance major as well with their component of BFA. But there's so many, you can create that's what school is supposed to be about, and that's what you're gonna be doing in this business. A lot of our students have created opportunities or evenings of, or our kids that, students who have written songs, have put together evening of songs that they've written, of like song cycles. And we had Ryan Scott Oliver come out, and he's listened to their music. And he actually had 2 of our students debut their music at Urban Theater, Urban Stages in Manhattan, and showcase their works as well.
In the very beginning, when you were giving us your elevator pitch, you mentioned plays and musicals. And did you say students are required to audition for both of them?
They are required to.
And so how many plays and how many musicals does Ryder produce every year?
So there's 3 plays and 3 musicals and 2 cabarets that they're required to audition for. But there's the priority is the main stage productions. If there's a show that they feel that they can't audition, they have to go to the chair and get permission not to audition for, but why not have the opportunity to audition for everything in the program?
Are the actors also auditioning for musical theater?
There's a few that audition.
So they're not
for
required.
They're not required, but the musical theater students are required to audition for the plays. There's also the operas as well. You could also even get your stage credit, tech credit, by teching one of the operas, or you could tech one of the dance companies' shows as well. Not just musical theater.
And you mentioned that the juniors and seniors are sort of looked at preferentially for the main stages.
Correct.
Are main stages open to audition university-wide, or are they just for the majors?
It is open university-wide, but I've never had another major audition.
That's the question I always ask.
I have had some from the... 2 or 3 from the vocal conservatory, but a lot of the times they're not able to because the choir has their rehearsals and they're touring. So it's kind of conflicts with our timing of our shows and the time for our rehearsals, but we see mostly musical theater in theater.
Right. You mentioned the 3 key players, the 3 full-time faculty members. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some other notable faculty or even notable alumni that have come from Ryder?
Of course, like as our faculty, I mean, we have Carol Bentley, who also teaches dance. She's been on Broadway and dance captain for Spamalot and works with Casey Nicola and many other shows. We have Cheryl, Mary, and Carol, three ballet, just strictly for the musical theater program. They come from the Princeton Ballet School, and mm-hmm. you're placed in your level of ballet, just like you're placed in your level of jazz, your level of tap, which is taught by Julie Thick and Danny Chiraga, who's done tours. And then I teach all your jazz. And then, besides the musical theater one, which I teach, you know, your social dancing, your Cats combo, your Chorus Line combo, plus current auditions. Like, I even taught the Wicked audition, and then the next day the kids were like, oh my gosh, we already knew it. There were auditions the next day, and we already knew the combo, what they had to submit, which was kind of cool. But we also have Sarah Burke from Steps. If you go to Steps and put up Sarah Burke, you'll see her choreography. She teaches our commercial dance, hip hop and street, your senior year. And the videographer for those videos that you see at Steps came to our campus and did video, and they had a social media presence every day. She did routines with them around campus. We do mock auditions in our dance classes, and she did many of those well, but really preparing our seniors for, both of us our senior year, preparing our seniors for the business and dance. You're acting, you have Mark Wade to, you have many choices. You know, from Alexander Technique to Chekhov, you know, you may have taken acting one with this teacher, professor, and may want to take acting two with this professor. None of the students had the same schedule, and they're just so, we've had Tina Marie Casamento, who wrote Chasing Rainbows and produced it. We've had her taught at our school. We've had many, many, Jamie Beth Margalis, Margalis Casting, she's taught classes. We've had casting directors teach classes. So the proximity to the city allows us to bring those. Carolyn Page, oh my gosh, famous Carolyn Page, who teaches voice in our department. We have many, many wonderful voice faculty who've actually been through Broadway and teach here at our school. So I'm really proud of our faculty that teaches.
So let's talk a little bit more about the campus and student life. We're, as you said, just about an hour outside of New York City, which is a big draw for the students. But an hour outside of New York City looks very different than New York City. Can you sort of talk about the area that the school's in and what students do when they leave campus?
Well, you know, our students are so busy, they rarely
they
leave
never
campus.
Leave campus.
They don't. I mean, a lot of the students around them do go out and are able to go many. We're close to Philadelphia, too. We're only 45 minutes into Philly. And Bucks County, the very famous Bucks County Playhouse is near us. They come and audition our students on campus. We had some that were just cast in Kinky Boots this summer. We have Passage Theater that's close to us. We're doing a brand new musical next year. And the kids are getting their equity points and also getting the production credit and getting a little cash, a little stipend as well. But we're doing a new musical on campus, and it runs a week on our campus and then runs 2 weeks actually at the theater. So we also have Passage Theater. We have MacArthur Theater that's nearby. They're able to go see shows and also audition for shows there. But there's many things that are, we're in like a little suburban area, like 15 minutes outside of Princeton. Very pretty, pretty trees, a little lake. There's also farmland there. Our kids are going into hay rides, picking their pumpkins during the fall. It's very beautiful during spring. It's even pretty during the winter, but it gets really cold. Our kids from the West Coast, like, oh my gosh. The first day they're doing snow angels, and then the third day they're like, oh my gosh, when would this stop? Our kids are going to see concerts in Philly, or they're going in and auditions, or they're going to see in shows. Like, even writers said, like, you know, the first 80 people that sign up, $10, there's a bus outside that's taking you, I'll see Wicked. Those opportunities that happen. But there's concerts on our campus. There's so many student-involved activities, from concerts, festivals. Our students have created things. I know they, some springs, they do the Hunger Games. They, like, hunt each other down. On campus. There's so many things to do, just not on campus, but outside. But the student life is, very busy. Some students have gotten involved with sororities and fraternities on campus. Like I said, there's Bronquay, but some have gotten out of the actual just theater community and got involved. But that just depends on the student. And the one thing I can say about our BFA is you can create in the musical theater program what you would like it to look at. That's why I say you can add other classes to it. You could add more dance classes. You could add more acting classes, whether it's comedy, directing, filmmaking, or like it's not even in the world, the arts, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. But you get to create what that 4 years looks like with the musical theater degree. And we're your advisor, so we're able to help guide you and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the senior showcase class, mm-hmm. but you also mentioned a freshman showcase and a sophomore showcase. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what those showcases are? I mean, are they the same? It's not, as a freshman, you're not getting put in front of agents and casting directors, correct?
No.
It's just, here they are world. Okay.
Yeah. We're doing, the freshman showcase is basically an introduction to, and we've had casting people come out and watch these, you know, shows and seen them. But like this year is a totally different than we've done before. We used to, maybe 4 years ago, had freshmen part of the audition process. They were just so busy and overwhelmed, we didn't think also a freshman is ready to be thrown in a show yet. So, and plus they're so busy and overwhelmed by the rigor of the program that we made it more their sophomore year they're able to audition for the main stages. So the freshman and sophomore showcase is just a review. This one was all around, you know, coming out of a pandemic, and there were singing and dancing choreographed by your upperclassmen, but also directed and musical directed by a faculty member or a guest faculty member. So that is mostly their freshman and sophomore year of that.
Is there a showcase? You didn't say anything about junior year. Is there any?
There is not your junior year. The senior showcase we used to do in person, but this year with the coming out of the pandemic, we've noticed even now that our students still have to submit video before even called into an audition. It's rarely that it's an open call. So not only do we prepare your classes for that, like even our freshmen have video reels and I give them combinations to self-tape and film. We also do that in class and do assessment on those. But this year we filmed, we put together a show, an hour show with our seniors and taped it on stage with the film crew and sound crew. We have a whole semester of a showcase class that I teach. Getting your resumes ready, submitting submissions, talking about how to do your resignation letter, how to do a thank you letter, the basics you need to know, your social media, how to with Facebook, Instagram, and then we filmed it. And the day we filmed it, we actually had agents in another room auditioning live, in person, as they were on stage. One group was filming their showcase stuff, and then another room. They were in another room with an agent auditioning in person on that day. And then the release of the showcase is after they graduate, it will be released like on this time, or if you're listening to this podcast, it'll be on the 14th as when the showcase is. Will this be this way? I have a feeling it will still be this way. We're able to reach over 1,000 casting agents, directors, and film agencies, you know, West Coast, Chicago, Florida, this way than we were in person. Doing it in New York.
Can we, just because you've opened the door and I'm not sure I've really explored this much with any of my other guests yet, but can you sort of explain, okay, so you film this showcase. Mm-hmm. What do you mean when you say it's released? How is it actually seen? Obviously asynchronistically, but have you had much, has there been a lot of success that way? Like there's a lot of concern about this no longer, or this leaning toward a virtual situation where it's not in person anymore.
Mm-hmm. But to me, it's really no difference. It's like if you go to a showcase, you see the show live, and then they're called back for, you know, a callback. Where here, you're able to reach more people who can't come, or like casting directors in New York are no longer in the city. Some of them have moved out, but still doing the casting shows outside of Manhattan, mm-hmm. and calling them in. So with this, what I mean by release, these videos and their pictures and resume and a program that they can follow are released to over 1,000 agencies and cast directors that it will be sent to view. And they can view it on their own time instead of, you know, maybe ours conflict with something other day. They're not able to. I mean, this is what all colleges deal with. You send out invitations. Will the people be able to make it? So with filming, they can see it at any time and be able to view it. And even our showcase last year that we filmed, some of our seniors from last year got called in the fall, you know, after viewing it again, you know, or they look back on it. So it's also on our website that people can look up. It will be on our website and also our Instagram, which is Ryder Musical Theater at Instagram. They can view the release.
Wow. Wow.
Did that answer your question?
It did. I just wanted to sort of break down as basic as possible for people who aren't understanding that, you know, this is actually, instead of a one-time shot, that your showcase now sort of lives in perpetuity online for casting directors to see.
Yeah, for a long time. And then also, it also connects you on the website. You go in, there's a video, and you click on it, and it goes through the show, and there's a program to go through, but then you also can click on the student's picture and resume, and then you can go to their website and see more of their reels, more the, you know, songs or dances they do in those videos. So it just, you know, you're able to see more of the student if you're interested, where like a showcase too, live, you're just seeing there, but then you have to go look up their showcase when you get home. That's just there for any time they're able to get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Let's change gears now and talk about the audition process for Ryder. Mm-hmm. First question, do you pre-screen?
We do pre-screen, yes.
Great. And approximately how many pre-screens do you receive every year?
Ooh, probably around 950 to 1,000 pre-screens a year.
And as people are awaiting their pre-screen results, what is the review process for that? Is it one set of eyes? Do more than one person have to look at it?
Three set of eyes, but we all three look at it.
God bless you all.
Maybe just two of us sometimes. Sometimes we're on it, but we're all, like, at least two of us have to make a decision for the callbacks.
Great. And from those 950, how many do you call back for a live audition?
There's no set number. You know, it's what we see on the audition, and there's no set number how many we call back. But we look at their voice, we look at their dance audition. I make sure that even if it's I have to look at them all because of the dance portion. So that's, I definitely have to look at them.
So where do you hold your live auditions other than on campus?
They're on campus. There's three auditions on campus. There's also New York Unified's at York Conservatory in January. But all the Unified's, LA, New York, and Chicago.
Yeah. Great. Any other regional auditions or group auditions that you
there
do?
There's the Moonified auditions, and there is the CAP auditions in Atlanta.
Do.
Yeah.
Awesome. Is there any benefit to auditioning on campus versus at a Unified audition? Other than getting to see the campus, but you don't give preference.
That is the main thing. You're able to get a tour and get a campus tour, and you'll get to meet our students there. But, you know, if you are making your final decision, you're going to come out to campus anyway. It's just you're able to see the campus.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing about those Unified auditions, or like everyone comes to you, and you can do it all in one place, then, you know, going to each campus, and that's like a big expense as well, but that's up to the preference of the student, right, and also the parents as well.
Right. And how many live auditions did you see this past season?
You mean like numbers? Like people in person? Oh my gosh, I don't remember. It wasn't anything really different than years past. I mean, maybe like 40 in a day, 40 on each one, maybe somewhere in there, 80, maybe one of them. Unifieds are going to be a little bigger because we're there for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people chose to do, we had to do virtual this year, although there were some students that were last minute changed their minds from to a virtual audition. So we had a virtual day just for those students.
Lots of things happened this year. Yes, there was pandemic and blizzards last minute. And our auditions went virtual a week before they. Yeah. Let's just hope
next year will be different. I mean, I do like coming and seeing in person. And I did miss going to Chicago. I did not go, but one of our professors were live there, but I was on camera at the audition, so I was able to speak to them and see them. So was T. Oliver. He was also there as well.
So out of those live auditions, how big of a class, incoming BFA musical theater class, are you aiming for?
Well, this year we are aiming below 30 or 25 to 30. And this year's class is 27. The classes before have been around 30. Last year, I have to be totally honest, was not the case. We made our offers and all 50 came. So, but we were able to, your classes are small. So, I mean, we had like 17 in a class, or your acting class is 12 in a class or 12 in a studio. Mm-hmm. And that was just a unique year, the pandemic. We made offers because of what was happening, and then they came. And even
they all said yes.
They all said yes. And then actually they even came to the campus and lived on campus during the pandemic. The university put Marley down on the floor in the gym, and they had reserved different spaces, and I taught from the studio so I could see them on camera, and they all had ballet bars in Marley, and they lived on campus their first year during the pandemic, and we made it through it. And this year we made it even through it live and in person, and knock on wood, I only had one person maybe get COVID in the semester, and we were not masked. We made it through it. They all wanted the experience. The students were so good about it, about, you know, testing and even our shows. You know, we made it through our shows too live. And that was just great. I mean, our first show this year was Pippin. We did it all in the world of social media. And I didn't even touch any Fosse, even though I'm a Fosse dancer. I didn't touch any Fosse material. I made it in the world of today, very contemporary, from, you know, Instagram to Facebook to Fourth Night to all that, and students were helping me put it together, and it was such a great experience to have. That was our first live show, and just the freshmen being in the audience, everybody was just cheering and supportive of each other, because I mean, we missed that.
Yeah,
seeing each other, that connection.
Yeah, you did have, I think you had 6 or 8 of my students alone come last year, which is awesome. And for people who may not have heard other episodes where we talked about how waitlists work and offers work, colleges make offers for a larger number of students. They expect some melt so that it comes down to an approximate class size. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're not the only school that this has happened to. Sometimes they all say yes, and you get a slightly larger class than you planned on. And as a school's popularity and program grows, that's more likely to happen. It happened at Nazareth a couple of years ago as well.
We all go through it. Like even one of your students, say Tim, that came to us, they were in a show and then ended up, you know, as like a sophomore, and then ended up going on during the pandemic stuff, and got that experience on the main stage when we didn't think it was going to happen their junior senior year, but they were swings and dance captains of shows, and they were able to be part of those productions.
So let's talk just real quick about wait lists. And do you have a wait list? Do you find yourself going into wait lists?
We do have a wait list. We did not dive into it so much this year.
Well, that's good for you guys. Yeah. That's great. So, but your wait list, like many others, it's not ranked, correct? It's not like you're number one on the wait list, you're number two on the wait list, and you just wait for the person before you to leave.
No, but when they ask if they're who do you want to release from that wait list, I do go through them. I look at their videos again and what I've written from their audition.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not a, I'm not number a six on the wait list. Yeah.
If so-and-so doesn't come, this is the next one. This is, no, we don't do that.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I always like to ask that question, because that's always, I heard that's how they do it, or that I just like to always have it come directly from the source. So in order to be one of those students that get an offer from you, what are the qualities that you're looking for?
Well, you know, you're always looking for someone to sing and dance. It's always you're the kidding. Main thing. You're kidding. But no, there is a passion about the person. And also when we talk to them, what are their interests in this industry? You know, because it's ever changing. You know, we see students that say, I want to be a dance captain. I just want to be a rockette, or I want to write musicals. And what have you written? I want to also explore this with your school, whether another degree in arts administration. That's what we look for. You know, you feel what the writer student is when you're in the room. It's hard to explain what that is, but you kind of feel it in the room. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, the students should also remember they're also auditioning us when they come in the room. So there's been times I've asked, is there anything you want to ask us? And they're like, no, I don't. Like, you should have something prepared to, you should kind of know what you're auditioning for and who you're auditioning for, that you're able to, like, ask, do you know anything about writer? No, I don't. So you should kind of know about the school and why you're auditioning for them, your needs and wants, but then mm-hmm. also have questions that you're interested in, because this is 4 years. And even after the 4 years, stay connected with that school and the students that are there and your professors that are there, to have questions to ask. Like, what are you looking for in a program? Mm-hmm. You know, that's always a question that I ask.
Great advice. Yeah. Last question for you before we wrap up. What's something that you're looking forward to?
What am I looking forward to? Like, are you talking about personally or school?
Let's keep the podcast about the school, Robin. We'll chat about other things later.
Well, no, personally, it's always my family, my daughter, you know, going to Disney this summer. That's what I'm like. But what I'm looking forward to, I'm always looking forward to the adventures that our seniors about to graduate, where their journeys take them. And I always get texts and emails from our students asking, you know, still staying connected to me, or when they book something or new opportunities. Success is just not always Broadway. To me, success, people always think that's the golden ticket. To me, the golden ticket and success is finding your path in this industry, whether it's performing on stage or backstage, and I think that's what the school prepares you in all aspects. So there is going to be a career transition down the road, maybe, but where we see someone wanting to get their master's in arts administration, or they've taken a different path, I'm always happy when that happens. And then also I'm looking forward to our freshman class, meeting them and getting to know them and their journey, and also helping them decide their path as well. And then I'm always looking forward to that dance placement day, seeing them for the first time. It's very excitement, the exciting of, you know, of growing up, you know, and their journey. So yeah, that's what I look forward to at the school. And then also what the school provides. We're, you know, like all programs, we're all changing, evolving, thinking what's best for our students, what we need to change in the curriculum. That's also exciting. Never staying settled. Because the industry is changing, as we, you know, we've all maybe discussed, and we're all still discussing, and what does it look like? And they're going to be the new artists and producers and writing musicals and change. So that's what we're there for. And why not take those opportunities while you're at school? Hey, you're not going to get your life as a student back, right? So why not take that 4 years and take everything you can possibly do? You know, and opportunity. I've even had seniors like, well, why didn't I take this? Why didn't I do that? Because you get tunnel vision. So we don't say study something else, but the opportunities are there for you to do that.
Wonderful. Tell me, if students want to learn more about Rider University, how could they best get in touch?
Well, they can go to a Rider website, rider.edu. There's the musical theater page. There's also, they can contact me, if they would like, at rlewis@writer.edu. They're welcome to contact me with questions about the program. I don't mind them doing that. But there's also the Instagram page, Writer Musical Theater, Instagram, and also Facebook page as well.
Great.
Those pages are actually run by our students, so they can ask students questions on those.
Oh, that's good. That's cool. Robin, thank you so much for sitting down with us and chatting about your program.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm also looking forward to meeting your students this summer. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, we've got a good group. We got a big group this year, which is really great. And so we're excited to be back in Orlando.
What great opportunity you're providing for these students. Oh,
thank you so much. We look forward to having you back around here real soon. And have a great day, Robin. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tim.
All right. Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training workshops and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.